Good morning. 9:24 a.m. on October the 5th. Is that right? 2012? Pretty sure. October the 5th, 2012. No, it's not 2012. I got the right month, I got the right day, I got the wrong year. 2013 has been all year. Where's my head? Obviously, not connected to my tongue in any significant way, at least intellectually. So yeah, I'm out, I'm walking. It's quite late for me, but it was as soon as I could make it this morning. And so rather than skip 2 days in a row for no better reason than, well, it's not my hour, so I can't walk now, I decided to make the walk later. I'm going to go back and have some breakfast. It's a generally a late kind of day today. Slept in till almost 6. Logged on to find a friend that I haven't talked to for weeks, months, talking to me. So we had a nice chat. And I got tied up in a bunch of other things. Yeah, here I am. So that hammering and tonguing that you can hear, without a doubt, the bangity bang bang. I'm not quite sure who he thought I was, but I have no idea who that was in the car. Maybe it's a fan, I don't know. Maybe it's somebody who listens to talking on my morning walk and realized I'm walking and talking. Quite strange. So yeah, one of the large multifamily buildings is getting its roof put back on today. Or at least the old roof taken off.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, it's two of them. And a third one and a fourth one lined up. Yeah, big doings. This is what my neighborhood has been like for weeks. I went to try to record the other day and realized that the neighbors were having their roof put on that day. It didn't work out so well. So yeah, 16 minutes on the first mile, 16 straight up almost, 16:03 or something like that. It was not my normal walk, not my normal music for the walk anyway. I was listening to the Lindsey Stirling channel, which was filled with sweeping orchestral this morning, and I thought, well, what the hell, give it a try. Worked pretty well. My shins and hips hurt, but that's to be expected. I was pumping right along, and I did not walk yesterday, so one day makes a difference. Oh, and the reason I didn't walk yesterday was, it was pouring. And worse than that, it was had snow mixed with rain, and it was decidedly disgusting. I was dressed for it. I went out in it. I got as far as the gate and thought, I don't need this. This is something I do not need. It was definitely something I did not want. But the thought of going out and getting soaked and running back and getting in the car and taking the kids to school, and it's like, no. No. It did clear up. By 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I probably could have done the walk. Looking forward, if it happens again, I probably will do the walk later rather than just scrub it off the calendar altogether. But be that as it may, that was yesterday. This is today. I am walking. I am talking. fall is definitely in the air. Trees are yellow all over the place here. They don't have much red. There aren't that many maples. A few bushes that turn red, but most of the trees are aspens. Most of them turn yellow, which is pretty, but kind of monochrome. Where's this guy going? Okay. FedEx on delivery this morning in his Mercedes lorry. So yesterday, over the course of the day, at some point during the day, I was challenged for NaNoWriMo. And I'm considering the challenge. I am going to do NaNoWriMo. I'm going to write book 3 of Tanith. I'm sorry, those of you who are looking for South Coast, Cape Grace. Tanith is the one that I need to finish, because that will put that series, at least the first 3 books of that series, to bed, and is an important milestone for that franchise. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do next, and then I'll do Cape Grace before I get into producing a new series. But this is October, and I had planned to have one book in the can already, but that didn't happen, largely because I'm a doofus. And I didn't manage to get it done in September for a whole bunch of reasons that are largely a little bit specious. Two small dogs running loose here, which is not a good thing. Don't recognize the dogs, or I'd go pound on a door. Anyway, the challenge is to write in public. Not just, you know, daily updates on where I'm doing, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, but actually writing in public, writing the story into a shared Google Doc and sharing that with the community. So, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Oh, hush. You're not supposed to be running loose, doggy. I run up ahead of me and then stop and bark. There's one behind me, too. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, so I'm thinking about it. It's like, I need to get this book done, so NaNoWriMo is the best excuse I have for telling everybody else to go pound sand and digging in and trying for a few 10K days in a row, monk pull, and trying to rebuild the writing chops that got so thoroughly decimated by trying to do that story for Sigler. A couple people have pointed out that I haven't written anything new since the end of July, when I tossed that novella over the fence to Scott. I haven't heard anything from him since. I hope it's okay. I know that he read it, but he didn't offer any feedback, so I'm assuming that he's going to tweak it, gore it up a bit. I still think the story is fine, but he has a very exacting level of violence that's required. And I'm pretty sure I didn't meet it, in large part because I don't see that it's necessary to tell a good story. But and I understand that his fans are a different thing. He's really writing to an audience, and the story has to satisfy the audience as much as it has to satisfy him or me. It certainly doesn't need to satisfy me. When you get right down to it, it really only needs to satisfy the audience and Scott, since it was a work for hire. So, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm fine. I hope he does. I just hope he doesn't throw it back over the fence and say, well, if you could just tweak this up a little bit. Because, yeah, I don't really ever want to see that story again. Not that I'm not proud of it, not that I don't think it's a good story, but a year on a 40,000-word novella is way too long. So the opportunity to get back into my own worlds again, the opportunity to write something new, something that continues a story that I really do like, which is Tanis' story, in pursuit to find the Hermit of Lammas Wood. And then the requirement that in addition to doing it, I'm going to have people watching over my shoulder, and then writing about the process, the meta view of the work. It's like, okay, why did I do this? What am I hoping to do with this? What is this piece? How does this piece fit in the whole? And the answer is, generally, I don't know. So I'm not quite sure what value that might have, other than, well, I have to set the stage because later, somewhere down the road, we have to have this piece of the puzzle in play in order to do something I'm not quite sure with yet. And because it's the third book in the series, because a lot of stuff has to wrap up, and because I really want this to be a standalone trilogy, not like the Wong Share books, where there's three in the first half and three in the second half, and they stand alone, sort of, each as triplets. They stand as trios because the first three books are the lowest years, and then the last three books in the Share series are his officer years. And so, you know, there's a different feel, there's a different thrust, there's a different idea in each one. But the Tanith books are really about identity. They're really about finding out who you are and understanding that who you are is really a process that's lifelong. It's not something that you go through when you're 20 and you find yourself and then it's good, you're done, it's over, have a nice life. But rather, as I am discovering now that I'm about to be 61, it's a continuously evolving process. It's something that changes regularly, or it has for me, and I'm left with the sense that if you're doing it right, it should be, because every day is different than the last. Every day is a new challenge. Every day is something else. And I just watched a Tim Minchin speech. He did a occasional speech, a statement to the audience, to the graduating class of, I think it was University of West Australia. And in it he said, if you have a dream and you're going to pursue your dream your whole life, that's fine, go for it, do it. Because if it's a big dream, if it's a significant dream, if it's something that your heart is set on, it will take you all of your life to get there. And that's good. Because by the time you get to there and you stare into the abyss of your dream, and you realize it doesn't really mean anything, you'll be almost dead anyway, so it won't matter. which struck me funny, but which has the certain uncomfortable ring of truth to it. Having achieved several dreams of my lifetime, staring into the empty dream once achieved is kind of sobering. So, yeah, you know, I understand where he's coming from. A certain level of truthiness there. The idea that what you should have are some short-term goals that you pursue passionately, so that every once in a while, something newer, shinier will flash in the corner of your eye if you're not paying 100% attention to the pursuit single-mindedly of a specific dream, but instead to a life passionately lived, and you think, that could be cool. And so whatever you're doing, you either wrap it up or toss it down and go in search of something new that's exciting, something new that's wonderful, something new that has meaning. Not in life, because as he quite rapidly disabuses his audience of, life has no meaning. Ultimately, it's hubris on the part of humanity to suspect that it might, that really being the culmination of 30 or 40 billion years of solar system growth and accretion gives us no special benefit, gives us no special ideal to which we should be aspiring, no plan to which we should be working, which on the one hand for a lot of people is probably going to sound really, really bad, but yeah, I can see that, which actually frees you up, because now you can do what you want. Now you can do things that are interesting. Now you can do things that matter to you. You don't need to have the universe approve. You don't need to do the things that the universe wants you to, and first of which is to try to figure out what the universe wants. And that's a difficult question to answer if the universe has no meaning, because you'll look and look and look and you won't find any until you look within. And when, you know, it's sort of a Buddhist concept. It's inside you all the time. A Zen idea. So yeah, it was quite a charming speech. It was quite lovely. And I look back and think, well, yeah, that's sort of how I've done it, kind of. You know, I've pursued being a computer geek for a long time. 18 minutes? Yikes. Well, it's only half a minute off my normal pace, so I've been sort of slouching along here, enjoying the morning. Oh, and the big delivery next door, they're going to have their roof ripped off. I've had any number of rip-off artists who've wanted to come and work on my house and consistently said no, and they don't understand why. It's like, no, you don't get it. There's nothing wrong with my roof. I'm not going to replace it just because the insurance company will allow me to replace a 5-year-old roof into something that doesn't really need it. So, with that, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.